This is the bit where I normally tell everyone, please take a seat. But as I can't see you, I'm assuming you are. Before I say anything else, I'm very disappointed, of course, that I can't be with you this week because of my ongoing COVID testing. And I'm feeling well and getting better. But as you can probably hear, still a little bit stuffy. And it's hanging around. The gift that keeps on giving, as I said yesterday. And I do need to say a huge thank you to those who, in the face of the perfect storm that was last Sunday's gathering for worship, stepped up and stepped in and made, and I've heard from a number of places, made a wonderful act of worship, really sort of out of the chaos. So thank you so much to all of you who gave so much of your energy and dedication last week. It is much appreciated, and I know it's been much appreciated by all those who experienced it. So beginning my thoughts with a question for you. Have you ever read a book or heard a piece of music or seen a movie that's turned everything upside down? When people turned out to be completely different to what you expected, when a set of events proved that things weren't exactly as you expected them to turn out, when what you thought was important or stable or straightforward turned out to be anything but. Or maybe you've had that experience in your life. I'm pretty sure that most of us, either through art or literature, or in our real lives, have had something like that. People, events, or things, or art that has turned what we thought on our heads. It's disconcerting, it's discombobulating, it's disturbing. And more often than not, it hits us not where we rationally think, but in the heart. It causes us to question how we perceive the world. And that's the way that Jesus does things. In today's gospel, Jesus challenges the accepted way of doing things, the status, the order of things. See, it would have been natural when someone goes into a feast to take the place due according to your station. Instead, says Jesus, take the lowest place. You may well find yourselves being rewarded for that by being moved to a place of honor. But this is the kingdom way, the reign of God. It's the way of the gospel. This story is not about making ourselves look good by some kind of assumed or very public humility, which is then rewarded. Nor is it about self-deprecation or thinking oneself lower than everyone else, which has been far too common a theme in the church for many years. It's about being absolutely sure of ourselves in Christ. It's about knowing ourselves loved, accepted, finding our identity in being the people whom God has called us to be, not through our status or place in society. We are told again and again in our world, take your position, make yourself look good, be the best, get the best. Jesus says that is not the way. Our value is to be found in knowing how deeply loved we are, how we are welcomed and graced by the divine. It's not to be found in the honor accorded to us by society. It's not to be found in the way that other people regard us. In this knowledge of the divine economy, the way in which God does business, we find ourselves truly liberated and opened to new life in Christ. And it allows us, in fact, it demands that we question the values which then put the poor and the outcast at the bottom of the heap. It questions our desire to expect a reward for our kindness, as Jesus goes on to say in the latter part of today's reading. Instead, we are called to generosity from our sense of gratitude and the richness of our lives and our hearts, called to hospitality out of our sense of security in being God's people, called to love out of our lovedness. Our scriptures are filled with times when values are questioned and challenged. If we look at today's reading from Jeremiah, we have the powerful words of a prophet who claims the words of God when he says, "The people of Israel have gone after worthless things and became worthless themselves." Not that God considers the people worthless, but that in chasing after things which are without meaning and true value, they have left the opportunity to know the true meaning and value which God gives. What we pursue, what we chase, what we long for becomes who we are. I'll say that again. What we pursue, chase, and long for becomes what we are. We become our values. Or as Jesus puts it elsewhere, Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, to be precise, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. As individuals and as communities, if money or sex or power or empire or status or whatever it is the focus and center of our lives, then that will inform everything that we do. It will affect our actions. It will affect the way we treat others. It will affect not only our behavior, but who we are. We will become those whose primary motivation and reason to be is wrapped up in these skewed values. As a society, if security or dominance, if finance, if believing that the rich deserve to be rich and the poor deserve to be poor are the foundations of our shared communal beliefs, then that's the kind of society we will and have become. If we subscribe to unattainable standards of physical beauty or to the possession of goods or to the philosophy of might is right, or if we privilege the cause of a dominant group, such as men, white people, heterosexuals, the cisgendered, businesses, then our society will reflect those values, and our society becomes the heart of who we are and inspires what we all do. This is the cause of Jeremiah's cry. They have gone after worthless things and became worthless themselves. And later on, they have ignored the living water and built leaking cisterns for themselves. This critique can easily be applied, sadly, to the church. If we again and again privilege the white, male, cisgendered, etc. in church leadership, if we're more concerned about membership and numbers, if we obsess about our buildings, our vestments, our music, our worship, our finances, our comfort, our preservation of the old ways, or the liturgy, then we will become what we are. They will be our core values, the place where we live from, rather than being the dynamic, spirit-led community so many of us love and know at St. John's. In our scriptures for today, and woven through the scriptural story, woven into our spiritual tradition, is a calling to keep Christ at the heart. And to echo what we would hear again and again from Bill Tarter, we are called to hold fast to that which cannot be shaken, and that is love. We find the love of Christ and the calling to be loving people ourselves, to be at the heart of real, living, dynamic faith. The heart of everything that is the deep, deep love of Christ. The love that oozes from our scriptures and forms the beating heart of our faith. In the third reading for today, we see it summed up in the opening sentence in the letter to the Hebrews. Let mutual love continue. It's the opener for a whole load of advice, admonishment, challenge, and guidance for what was a fledgling, struggling, fractured, and threatened group of early Christians, a group who would see the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem and the exile of many of its inhabitants, a group who saw the oppression and persecution brought about by Rome against the rebellious people of Israel and had seen the brutality that that brought. Yet they are called to this one thing, to love, a love that begins in the community of Christ, but spreads from there, a love which welcomes the friend and the stranger. Excuse me, knowing that friends and strangers are God's messengers, knowing that in loving one another, we are indeed entertaining angels, a love which holds to standards of service, grace, forgiveness, hope, and joy. In creating church order, as the anonymous writer of the letter to the Hebrews seeks to do, he keeps the primacy of love, of welcome, of faithfulness and outreach as the heart and foundation of the community of Christ. The rock, the rock on which the church is to be built is not services or schedules, Bible reading or clerical wear, bishops, priests and deacons. The rock on which the church is to be built is Christ, the Christ of love. May love be our treasure, our values, our heart, ourselves. Amen.